We are in the middle of a series called Homework, and I want to speak on patience today. All parents, this is obviously our go-to fruit. We're speaking about the fruit of the Spirit, and don't worry, I'll explain in a moment what that is. But I posted a question yesterday, and I want to on my Instagram, and I want to ask the same question today. From the get-go of this message, and that is, do the habits you have today line up with the dreams you have for tomorrow? Do the habits you have today, do they line up with the dreams that you have for tomorrow? You know, we are, as Phil just said, we're getting closer and closer to the end of the year, which is exciting. And you know, it's fun when you're a parent as well, because there's so much excitement. You know, our kids, they do countdown calendars for everything. Countdown for birthdays, countdown for their dolls' birthdays, countdown. I mean, there are presents being wrapped for dolls, and dolls are having birthday parties. It's crazy at home right now. And you know, in the midst of all of this, you know, I keep thinking to myself, it is just another date. The sun will rise, the sun will go down, and, you know, life will move on. But for some reason, and I guess it's good that we have this time in the year where we can just stop and reflect of where we've been, where we're at, and where we are going. But we are kidding ourselves if we think that New Year's Eve holds some kind of magic power. We are kidding ourselves if we think, I just need to get to New Year's Eve and everything will be different. Next year will be different. And you know, somehow we think that there is this special, I don't know, like pixie dust, Tinkerbell dust, I don't know, some kind of magic about New Year's Eve, that if I make some decisions on New Year's Eve, everything is going to be different. So our gyms, they get filled up. Our diets, they begin. Everyone clears out their junk food cupboards. You know, everything changes. You know, new year, new me. I mean, it's all happening. And then a weekend, 2 weeks in, we realize, oh, wait, there was nothing special about that night. It was just a little bit longer night and early morning. And you realize that there is not a special moments that have certain power. That really, the power to change lie in your power to make some choices. And the choices we make this year, the choices we make today, that's what's going to shape our tomorrow. And if anything, I just pray that as we're getting closer to Christmas, as we're getting closer to New Year's, that it will cause us to stop and reflect on just what are the habits. And our habits are just our continuous choices that we're making. What are our habits that we are, you know, that we are in the middle of today, and are they actually going to be the ones that are going to take us to whatever our dream is? Because it is the old saying of, or the old definition of insanity, of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. But so many of us, we're caught in that loop of just we're making the same decisions about our friends, same decisions about our finances, same decision about our health, same decision about our spirituality, same decision about everything, yet we're constantly expecting different results. You know, we want these changes, and sadly, a lot of the changes that we want are driven by negative feelings, driven by guilt. We go, I need to go to the gym because I'm fat. I need to make decisions about my budget. I need a budget because I don't want to be poor, you know? And we, you know, everything is driven by negativity, and you know, often I think what would benefit all of us if we could flip it on its head and actually find what is the positive motivation. I don't want to budget because I want to avoid, you know, not being able to pay the bills or being poor. I want to budget because I want to be generous when I see a need. I want to position myself with some margin in my life. I want to manage my time, not so that I can have more time watching Netflix. I want to manage my time so that when I have a holiday, I have a holiday, not because I need to, but because I can. That there's enough margin, there's enough rest planned into my life already that I'm, you know, I have more energy for the people around me. I have more, you know, more left over for my family. You know, I want to have a a healthy lifestyle and a good diet, not because I don't want to be fat, no, because I want to have energy to play with my kids and one day grandkids, and I want to be able to keep this life up. And so turn it around, because what most of us do is that we take this mindset and we put it into our relationship with God. Well, I'm reading my Bible because I have to. Yeah, that's not really motivating. That's not exciting, you know. I'm praying because if I don't, God will be angry with me. Well, first of all, he won't. Second of all, that's not going to motivate you to pray either. That's like saying, I'm going to kiss my wife because, well, we have to. It's in the marriage contract. You know what? That's not a great pickup line. That is not great foreplay, okay? I'm just going to put it out there, guys. You know, all right, babe, time to kiss me. It's like, that's not going to, you know, all right. We're going to let that one rest. This attitude will only result in striving. It's a futile attempt of self-improvement. And no wonder that Jesus, he steps into and onto the scene of just rules after rules after rules, law after law after law. And in Matthew 11, 28, he steps onto the scene and he goes, are you tired? Are you burned out? Are you worn out on religion? I mean, no wonder he steps in and sort of like just deflates everything. He's like, guys, it seems like everyone's busy around here. Man, you must be tired. Come away with me. Matthew 11, 28. Come away with me and I'm going to show you how to recover your life. I'm going to show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. And learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I'm not going to lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. What I love about it is that he's not saying, I'm not going to put anything, like I'm not going to put nothing on you. He's not saying, I'm going to take all responsibility off you. There's going to be nothing to do. No, there's still a job to do. There is still something that is expected of us. But he says, listen, it's not going to be heavy. It's not going to feel like a burden. It's going to be something that is not ill-fitting. It's going to be like, no, this is a perfect fit. Because that is what the grace of God is. It is a perfect fit. It's a perfect fit for your calling. It's a perfect fit for your gifting. It's a perfect fit for your weakness. The grace of God, it is a perfect fit. You know when you go shopping? Who loves shopping? Who are the shoppers here? Who does not like shopping? Who has already made a decision before church? I will not answer a single question asked. Great. You know when you go shopping and you put on that jacket and it's a perfect fit. You know, it's like yes, it's a perfect fit. I'm not trying to make it look good. It just looks good. This is amazing. The grace of God is a perfect fit. It's a perfect fit. The first time you have an encounter with the grace of, it's a perfect fit. It's like, wow, it fits my weakness. Wow, it fits my gifting. Wow, it fits the job that I had to do and my calling and my life. It's a perfect fit for you. That's why we should never compare ourselves, because comparing yourself with someone else, it's like putting on their jacket. It's not going to fit you. You're different. Different build, different in every way. It's different. And so they have their grace and you have your grace, and God, he wants to grace you because it's a perfect fit for you. So he says, I'm not going to put anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. And I think all of this, it really comes down to the question of, do you actually want Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You know, we ask this question every Sunday. We say, do you want to connect with Jesus? And it's a simple question. Do you want Jesus into your life? Do you want him to be the Lord and Savior of your life? And it might be funny to talk about in a context of this, in terms of we all Christian. You know, most of us are Christ followers. But sometimes I listen. You know when you have a debate with someone, you're arguing with someone, and then you have like a third person experience, you're like an out-of-body experience, you're kind of looking at the whole debate. And sometimes I debate with someone and we kind of just talking, but my mind tends to wander. And so sometimes I just wander away from the debate and just kind of look back at it and go, this is such a funny debate. Like, what are we arguing about? Like, really, what are we arguing about? You know, when you argue at home, and not that you guys argue at home, but we are a work in progress. But sometimes you argue, and like you're several minutes, dare I say, hours into it, and you go, can anyone remember what this argument is about? You know, and sometimes I have some people trying to start a debate, you know, with other Christians, and we argue about certain things that the Bible talks about, and I'm kind of like, why are you getting angry with me? Like, I didn't write the Bible. I'm just reading it, you know? It's like, why are you attacking me? It's like, the question, it would be the same as getting angry at the trainer at the gym for the program that they have made. It's like you joining a class at the gym, and then they go, okay, welcome to class. Today, we're going to start on the bike. And, what? I don't want to go on the bike. And it's like, you know, if that happened, everyone like, what are you doing? Like, you don't have to be here. You know that. And he's like, no, I want to be here. Okay. But I think it's ridiculous that we have to start on a bike. It's a spinning class, you know. Bikes are kind of essential to this class. It's ridiculous. I don't agree with it. I think spinning, we should just be spinning, you know. It's like, what is going on? Like, I don't. But I think sometimes that is how I feel that we are as Christians. It's like we're arguing about what? I have to tithe and get baptized. Well, I don't know how to put this, but you kind of said, Jesus, I want to follow you. And then he kind of put some things out there and he goes, this is what a life looks like following Jesus. And we're like, I don't want to do this. And everyone, I'm like, you know, you don't have to follow him. You don't have to. It's optional. That's why we say, do you want to? But really, it comes so much of life comes back down to that question. Do you want to keep following him? Do you want to just keep following him in your marriage, in your thinking, in your finances, in your health, in your life, in the way we talk? Do we actually want to follow him? But what is amazing is that if we choose and we continue to choose Jesus, there are certain advantages and benefits that get produced in our lives. Isn't that amazing? You know, Galatians 5, verse 16, Paul says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify or fulfill the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary or opposite to the Spirit, and the Spirit contrary or opposite to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. So here Paul is saying, almost as if we in a moment we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but he's also saying there's also something called the fruit of the flesh. Now flesh, sorry, it's like cool. Like, why are we talking about flesh? Flesh, when the Bible talks about flesh, it's like, what's going on? You know, flesh is when your focus is on you. Selfishness, you know, when my focus is on what I want, how I can feel good. It's all about me, my, and myself, no one else. I don't care about it. As long as I feel good, I'm going to do it, even if it hurts you. That in its extreme case, that's what flesh is. And so Paul says, if you live like that, there's also fruit of that kind of living. There's certain kind of fruit of that living. And then he goes through a list, which is not an exciting list, you know. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. It just sounds evil. You know, idolatry, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, and selfish ambition. And goes down this whole list of things where you're like, man, I don't want that growing in my life. And Paul says, it's okay because there's another way. There's another way. You don't have to live like that. And that's what's amazing about following Jesus, is that it's not that you're not allowed to sin. It's not that you're not allowed to live selfishly. It's that you don't have to. We're no longer slaves to sin. I'm a child of God. Isn't that what we sing? It's that I'm no longer its slave. That's the good news. It's that there was a time where I couldn't stop myself. There was a time where it felt like even if I wanted to be free, I couldn't. There was a time when I was constantly at sin's beck and call. I was his slave. And Jesus came down and he set us free. So now it's not like, oh, you're not allowed to do that. It's not that I'm not allowed to. Paul says everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. So it's not that I'm not allowed to, it's that I don't have to anymore. You do not control me anymore. I don't have to go back to the filth. I don't have to go back to this. No, there is another way. And the Bible calls that to live by the Spirit. Now, to live by the Spirit, if living by the flesh over here in Kilboon, to live, it's good, eh? Just came up with it. I will be using it next service. to live by the flesh is to focus on you. To live by the Spirit is to focus on Jesus. It is to focus on him and say, I want you to be the Lord of my life. And that relate. And then he says, and these are the fruit that will grow. So over here, what will grow here is like rage and jealousy and crazy stuff, debauchery. And over here, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I mean, really, is there a choice? It's like God saying in the Old Testament, I put before you life and death. Hint, choose life. It's like Paul, he goes, man, we have a fruit basket over here. Jealousy, rage, just rotten fruit. And over here, fresh, amazing fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Choose this. This is the kind of fruit I want. And so this is when we focus on Jesus. So what does it actually mean to live by the Spirit? What does that even mean? Live by the Spirit. Okay, cool. We walk out. What does that mean? Living by the Spirit is to choosing, it's choosing to follow the prompts. The hints, if you will. When someone gives you a hint? Us men, we often need hints. My wife and I, we sat down and we're trying to make Christmas lists at the moment. And she goes, you know what I want? I said, no, I don't. I actually don't. She goes, yeah, but in something like this. Nope, not good enough. I don't need like this. I need, what is it? She goes, I want this lamp. I need a link. I don't care what you say. I need a link. Otherwise, you're getting a gift card, Any men that are with me, come on. Oh, okay. Any women that are with me? I need a link. Send me a link, We were teaching our kids yesterday that when we were kids, there was no such thing called Google because we were sitting and doing a video. We were watching a video about the universe. It was amazing. And it led into this crazy conversation. It was amazing. And she goes, hey, my girl's like, Google this, Google that. And then suddenly my wife's like, did you know? And I'm like, where are we going? When I was a kid, and I was like, you're not that old. You're not allowed to use that sentence yet, We didn't have Google. We went to the library. You didn't go to the library. No, that's true. Listen, when you become a Christian, you don't become better. You become alive. When you become a Christian, you don't become better. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. So when you became a Christian, you didn't just become a good person. No, you became alive, a living person. And that means suddenly there is a Holy Spirit that is now alive inside of you. What you got to realize is that we serve a living God. We serve a moving God, and we serve a speaking God. That means that God, he wants to, as crazy as it sounds, he wants to communicate with you. The creator of everything, the God of heaven and earth, wants to talk to you. He wants to communicate with you. And what he does is that he starts to give you promptings, hints. And we can call them things like, a gut feeling, which is fine. It's fine calling it. I just had this gut feeling to do this. Or I had this intuition. Or I had this, I just felt like this is what I should do. Or maybe I call them flash forwards. You know, when you suddenly just see yourself in a situation, you're like, oh man, that would be awesome to do one day. A dream, whatever it might be. You know, suddenly you have a thought that just overpowers every other thought. You know those, you know, it's like every other thought is just, and then suddenly, hello, you know, suddenly one thought gets on the mic and you're like, whoa, what was that? And it's like, whoa, turn it down. You know, just this crazy thought that just promptings of the Spirit. And what we have to get good at, if we want to get in the flow of living by the rhythms of grace, is that we've got to start listening to the prompts. And what's amazing is like a parent and their child, the more you listen to a voice, the more you recognize it. The more you can recognize it. You know, when I show up and pick up our girls at school, you know, it's like a war zone. Like it is. I walked in the other day and I said to my girl, I held on. I said, you've got to guide me through this. She goes, why? I go, I feel like my life is in danger. There are frozen footballs that are being thrown around. You know, those plastic balls. You get one of those on bare skin, that's going to sting. You know, there's people flying past in little moon cars, like an ankle. You know, that will take my athletic dreams forever. You know, so you've got all this happening. And in the middle of that, I can hear Evie's little voice. And if you've ever heard her talk, not many have, but if you ever heard her talk, I will suddenly go, wait a minute, that's Evie. How? If I'm with someone, they're like, how did you hear anything distinguishable? It just sounds like aliens, you know. How did you hear? Because I've tuned in. And the more you will listen to the promptings of the Spirit, the more you will tune in. The more suddenly you will just recognize it. And it's almost, for me, it's the feeling of God saying, can you come away with me for a second? Can we just step aside for a second? I just need to talk to you. That's the feeling. It's like, and it could be anything. It could be little things like pick up the phone and call this person. It could be things like, you know, I think you should say yes to that job. I think you should take this project at work. You know, just, and it might not even make sense, but you're just following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Pay that person's bill. Buy a hat. Like, it sounds silly, doesn't it? Like, it sounds silly. If you're that person that bought the hat, it might not even be a thought, or it might have been, oh, that's nice. Who knows? Perhaps the Holy Spirit led you because somewhere else there is a person that said an innocent prayer saying, okay, God, if you're real, I would love a hat. I would love a hat. I remember once I was in a Salvation Army church in Bornholm. And I had this brand new jacket on. It was amazing. It was perfect fit. Amazing. And we walked in and they had an evening. My dad was preaching and there was an evening of homeless people. And they were all in there. And I just had this thought, give your jacket to that guy. I'm like, come on. Can we be real? You know, I'm like, come on. It's a perfect fit. It's not going to be a perfect fit on him. But it was. You know, and to see is like, you know, we were both crying, and it's like, I've been praying about this, I didn't think God was real, and it's like, you know, I'm like, promptings. I believe over this Christmas season, there will be promptings. Promptings to have a conversation with someone in your family, to maybe buy someone, they don't deserve a present. Since when is this whole Christian walk about who deserves what? I thank God I didn't get what I deserved. I think it's called grace. Promptings. Follow the promptings. How do we live by the Spirit? Follow the promptings. Follow the intuitions. Follow the being generous, inviting someone, encouraging someone, speaking up, listening to someone. Look for the hide and seek moments and actually doing something about it. And as you sow into the Spirit, you will reap the fruit of the Spirit. That's why as a church, we will always celebrate progress. We will always celebrate progress. We live in a world, man, I'm so like early in this message and time's running out. We live in a world that celebrates results. Celebrate crossing the finishing line. Celebrate,
you know, hitting the mark, hitting the sales target, whatever it might be. But, you know, really, life is not a one-time transaction. Life is a journey. I mean, if you were, I heard this example the other day. If you sell wedding dresses, surely your greatest moment of celebration should not be when someone swipes the credit card. Your greatest moment of celebration should be reserved for when they post their wedding photos. It is the same when it comes to our walk with Jesus. We celebrate when people make a decision for Jesus, and we ought to, because someone's life has turned, and you know they are now forgiven of their sin, and they're on the way to heaven, and everything is forgiven. It's a moment to celebrate, and heaven celebrates, and we join in the celebration. We clap, we cheer, we get excited, and we should. But make no mistake about it, there is a reason we say to our host and our welcome team on the front door, treat the front door of our church as a finishing line. Cheer people on as they come through the doors. Give them high fives and clap them in. Cheer people on when they show up to a connect group. Why? Because we celebrate progress. Because that decision that we celebrate in church, it's not just a decision we celebrate. It is that now you are positioned to reap the benefits. You are now in a position where your marriage will get better, where your thinking will get better, your finances will be blessed. You have now positioned yourself in a place where you now can reap the benefits. So every time you receive the benefit, we want to be there and cheer you on. As I was preparing this message, I'm going to be honest, I was sitting like, God, I feel like I've done this message 6 times. I feel like I'm just repeating myself. What, can we just change the subject? Obviously, we still got more few more fruit in the basket, but God, can we just change the subject? But I was reminded to go back again because I feel like my job here is to be a cheerleader. It is to say, do not give up. Continue sowing into the Spirit. Continue choosing Jesus because you will reap the benefits. I mean, Paul must have had the same thoughts because half a chapter later, he writes to us in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked, and man will reap what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, kaboom, from the flesh will reap destruction. We just talked about that, rotten fruit. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, choosing Jesus, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So let us not grow weary in doing good, because in due season we will reap a harvest, the fruit, if we do not give up. The challenge in all of this is do not give up. Keep going. That's why the emphasis on this whole series about fruit of the Spirit has not been a word study on each of the fruits. No, the whole emphasis has been on how do we connect to Jesus. Because if you can just get that right, the fruit will take care of itself. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. Continue. When I'm there and when I'm not there, continue to work it out. Because God is the one who works it in by His Spirit for you to will and to do. Continue to work it out. Let's not be the Christians that just do it when God, I'm watching you. No, of course I want to live like this. Of course I want to sow into the Spirit. So what is the success criteria of this message? I'm supposed to speak on patience, by the way. Be patient, okay? Jeez. But what's the success criteria? That we all go home and be patient? No. So what's the success criteria? The success criteria of this is that we go home and open our Bible and just allow God in. It's that people go onto YouVersion and start a daily reading plan. It's that we find moments just to pray. It's that on the way to work, we turn off the radio and put on some worship music and just say, Jesus, help. Help. It's that we just continue allowing God to work it in. We can be so focused on all the principles to work it out, and we will. And we'll talk about that. And in the start of next year, we're going to talk about some of the disciplines, some of the hallmarks of what it means to be a Jesus follower. But first, we've got to just allow him to work it in. And the fruit will take care of itself. And if you will catch it, if you will catch the message and the heart of this, you will realize God is the one at work. All we got to do is show up. That's all we got to do is show up. You know, when you have an appointment just means there's a time that's been appointed for you. You know, so all you got to do, if you have an appointment, the principles are really simple. Just show up. That's really how you fail an appointment. It's just not showing up. It is the same with how God works out his purpose in our lives. All we got to do, show up. Listen to what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 15. For I'm the least of the apostles. This is Paul. Paul, he goes on a crazy journey where he starts out saying, I'm the least of the apostles. And he finishes up with, I'm the greatest sinner ever. As he's progressing in understanding how big God's grace is. It's amazing. But then he goes, I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. What an amazing statement. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Next time someone claps at you, next time someone celebrates you, whether you can say it loud, at least say it in your head. But by the grace of God, it's a perfect fit. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, Paul says, I worked harder than everyone else. And then he stops himself. He goes, but not me, the grace of God that was with me. And then he goes on basically to say, who cares who gets the credit for this as long as the kingdom of God is moving forward. He goes, I worked harder than everyone else. I was more patient. I was more, oh, wait a minute. He stops himself like, oh, I'm an idiot. It wasn't me. It's the grace of God. The grace of God is at work in me. All I had to do, my part in the job, was just to show up. What's the success criteria of this message? Just show up. Every day, show up. Every day, show up to work. Show up to homework. Every day, just show up. Just show up saying, all right, God, here I am. I'm reading something. I don't understand it, but I'm still here. I'm doing a reading plan, reading it. God, I'm turning on some worship music. I'm tuning in. God, I'm speaking to you. I don't know how to pray, but I'm our Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Like, just show up. You can't get it wrong. Just show up. And the Holy Spirit now starts to change you from the inside out. And that's when you discover, I don't have to do all that. The destructive living anymore. Suddenly, these things grow out of me. So what does grace produce? Well, so many fruit of the Spirit. We have time. Just be patient. One of the benefits, it is patience. One of the benefits of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Now, patience is this, is that Christians, they choose to follow God's plan and God's timetable rather than their own. That they have abandoned their own ideas about how the world should work. You know, every time the Bible talks about waiting on God, it's always in the context of wait with a sense of expectation. It is never just sit down and, well, I guess I'm waiting. No, it is waiting, as if you're waiting on a bus. You're waiting, looking. The other day I was waiting on a bus. Apparently it goes every 5 minutes. I waited for 45. Patience was being tested, my friends. Did I fail? Yes, I did. But you're waiting with a sense of expectation. If it doesn't show up, what do? You go to the timetable. It should be here by now. It should be. I think I'm in the right place. I'm doing all the right stuff. Okay, well, I guess I just need to wait a little bit longer. I just can't abandon my post because this is where it's supposed to, I can see that this is where it's supposed to show up. So I'm not abandoning my post. I'm waiting. I'm being patient. Other people are here. I guess they're waiting too. Is it going to come soon? Yeah, I think it's coming soon. We're all in the right place. That's awesome. How good is this? You know, we're cheering each other on. We're all in the right place at the right time. I guess we're all waiting with a sense of expectation. It should be any minute now. I don't know what you're waiting for, but wait with a sense of expectation. If you doubt about whether you're in the right place at the right time, have a look at the timetable. Maybe take some time to go, no, I'm doing all the right stuff. I'm in the right place around the right people. I'm planted in the house of God. I'm in it. I guess I'll just wait. I'll wait with a sense of expectation. Patience is believing that God is good and God is in control. Patience is when you can believe God is good and God is in control at the same time. He's good, that's great, but he's also in control. He's in control and he's also good. That is when we can say Romans 8:28, everything works together for good. I know he's going to work this out. I don't know how, but I know he's good and I know he's in charge, so everything will be good. And that's when we have Philippians 1:6 that, you know he will continue to work out. He will continue to finish what he started. So it's all good. It's all good. It might look like a mess right now. You might have received a bad report. This week, some of us, we received a bad report about someone we love dearly. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I do know this. God is good and he's in control. So I'll just wait with a sense of expectation. I say, God, I don't know how you're going to work this out. It might be through the doctors. It might be around the doctors. It might be through the bank. It might be around the bank. It might be through this or around that. I don't know how you're going to work it out, but I do know you will work it out because you are good and you're in control. Wait with a sense of expectation. Abandon your own ideas of how it's going to work. When you can trust God, when you have patience, the how, the when, and the who is up to him. The when, the how, and the who is up to him. When I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about Abraham. Talk about abandoning your own ideas. It's like by the time he had a boy of his own, God says, all right, now you need to sacrifice him. Wait, what? I think our lines have been mixed. You must be calling someone else. There's something wrong. You know, I could imagine Abraham walking up the mountain with his son. Any minute now, God, we're here. We got the wood. We got my son. Any minute you want to change the plans, I'm good. Build an altar. Okay, we're building. God, any minute now. It says in Hebrews 11:19, it says, Abraham reasoned. Like he thought about it and he reasoned God could even raise him from the dead. So in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. So Abraham just got to the point, he's like, I don't know, I think God wants me to go through with this. Well, God is good and he's in control. So I guess if it comes to that, he's able to perform the greatest miracle of them all. Talk about faith. So many of us, we reason with ourselves, well, if he's good, he wouldn't have brought me this far. If he was in control, this wouldn't have happened to me. No. Faith says God is good and he's in control. And even if not, he can still work out something good out of this. I don't know what you're waiting for. I don't know what your bus is called. But I just want to encourage you, stay patient. And you say, well, it's hard to be patient. Yes, it is. That's why you don't focus on being patient. What do I focus on? You focus on Jesus. You focus on Jesus. Because as you focus on Jesus, what are you doing? You're opening your life up for the Spirit of God. And what happens? The fruit of the Spirit starts growing. Love, joy, peace. Kat's going to talk tonight about peace. You want to be here tonight. It's a phenomenal message. Peace, patience. Patience. If you're waiting for a miracle, if you're waiting for that breakthrough and you find it hard to have patience in the waiting, as we're singing and talking about before, can I encourage you? Focus on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher of your faith. He will sustain you. And whatever comes your way will be from him. It will be good. And remember, he is in control. Amen? Amen.